Jesus is coming. It won't be long before he's going to split the eastern sky, and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. All of you that are listening on the radio right now, watching online, if you've never been to the Christian Center, we'd love to have you come. We're at 2405 West Lee Boulevard in Lawton, Oklahoma. In fact, we have a Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. We have children's ministry, have youth ministry, and adult ministry every Wednesday night. So we'd love to have you come. Also on Sunday, we got a lot of good things going on Sunday too. So come on down, 2405 West Lee Boulevard in Lawton, Oklahoma. If you live in the Duncan, Chickasha area, we got churches over there as well. So come to church, assemble together, and get blessed. Amen. If you have your Bible or device, go to Ephesians, the first chapter today.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Brother Jimmy Carter's got a good voice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I bet you he's a drill sergeant or something like that when he was in the service. Ephesians 1 and 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm one of the faithful in Christ Jesus, so this is written to me. It was written to the church at Ephesus, but it's also written to us because we're the faithful in Christ. Notice that he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The Bible is a big book. And in fact, a lot of people today, born again Christians, have different viewpoints concerning Scripture. I like to look at Scripture through the dispensation of time, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but God deals with his people differently in different dispensations of time. Now, before Jesus came, Jesus was the seed that Abraham was believing for. Jesus manifested, and he died on a cross, resurrected from the dead, and now the church has started. The church didn't start until Jesus died and resurrected. And when I say the word church, I mean the ecclesia. When I say the word ecclesia, we know that's a Greek word for the called out ones, the called out ones. Now, when Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he was coming not to the Gentile nations, he was coming to the nation of Israel. Abraham's seed in the flesh is who Jesus came to in his earthly ministry. Now, when he came, the law of Moses was intact. In fact, they were still doing blood sacrifices. Jesus and his family did blood sacrifices until Jesus' blood was shed on the cross. Joseph and Mary, Jesus, his household, they all went to Jerusalem once a year, and they had a lamb that they groomed, and that lamb was slain for the sins of the people. Now, when that time period stopped, when Jesus was the last sacrifice, I'm talking about the final sacrifice. The only blood that God looks at today as blood that is covering the sins of the people, now Jesus' blood is recognized, but he doesn't just cover the sins. The animal sacrifices covered the sins. Jesus' blood does away with the sins. So if a lie has taken place by an individual, and the blood of Jesus is now applied to that lie, you can't find that lie anymore. That lie is gone because it has been obliterated. It's like that lie has never taken place. Now, in the Old Testament, when a person lied like that, bear false witness, the blood of that animal would cover that sin of lying, but it was still held to that person's account. Until Jesus' blood was shed, there was no remission of sins. So when we read scriptures, am I in the nation of Israel before Jesus? Or am I in the church? See, you got to read scripture verses that apply to you, or you can wrongly divide God's word, and it'll get you in more trouble. In fact, the devil uses those scriptures to mess people up. I know of many denominations right now that are messed up because they have not rightly divided the scriptures in the Bible. They don't put the different dispensations of time in the right place. They'll bring you before the cross instead of after the cross. You know, nobody was born again. Nobody had a born again spirit in them until Jesus died and resurrected. So that meant that every person that Jesus ministered to in his earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you know he was ministering to people that were spiritually dead? Their spirit was not born again. Jesus had to become the firstborn among many brethren. Now, Jesus was the only begotten, but he became the firstborn when he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout in the house. So the Apostle Paul was a chosen minister to reveal the New Testament. In fact, Peter, James, and John, we read this yesterday, you know, how Paul said about them, he said, they seemed to be pillars in the church. They seemed to be pillars. I mean, he was putting doubt on Peter, James, and John's office of apostles when he said they seemed to be pillars, because they were trying to go back to the Old Testament law. Paul was trying to bring the church into the New Testament, and he was having to kind of go at it. In fact, he even said in Galatians, in the first chapter of Galatians, he said he confronted Peter in the midst of everybody, because Peter was doing things that were of the law and not of grace. So Paul actually corrected the Apostle Peter. This is a powerful message that we need to hear, because freedom only comes when you're free in Jesus. I cannot die for my sins. I cannot pay for my sins. I cannot do anything to bring justification to me. Only Jesus brings justification to me. I'm only righteous by Jesus. If I think I can do 50 works, good works, and now it will blot out the bad thing that I did, I am deceived. In fact, the Bible says I'm cursed. I cannot do it. Jesus is the only one that blots out what we've done wrong, our sins. So with all that in mind, look at Ephesians 1:1 again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I always like to say, that's me. Everybody say, that's me. It says, to the faithful in Christ, that's me. So Paul is writing this to me. Now, go to the second verse. Grace be to you. This is Paul talking by the Holy Ghost, writing by the Holy Ghost. Grace be to you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is Paul doing here? He's saying, I'm speaking for God our Father, and I'm speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Now, what does it mean, peace be unto you? Well, it just means that God's not at war with you. You have received Jesus' blood. You have had your sins blotted out. And now God and the Lord Jesus Christ are at peace with you. Hallelujah. This is good news. Third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He hath blessed us, Lynn. He hath blessed us, Cindy. He hath blessed us, Yvonne. Now, hath is past tense. He's not going to bless me. He's not going to bless you. He already has blessed you. Hallelujah. So now take ownership. I am blessed. Now the word blessed means empowered to prosper, empowered to increase. I am blessed right now. I'm empowered to increase. Glory to God. Why? Because God has said it to me. Fourth verse. According as he has chosen us in him. So God chose James Sanders. God chose Otis Dickerson. God chose Jimmy Carter. God chose Andre, Chuck. And I could just say all of you guys that are listening on the radio, all of you are now, if you're in Christ, you are chosen. You are picked by God. You didn't pick yourself. You did not pick yourself and you did not bless yourself. You're blessed because you are in Christ Jesus. And I need to start saying, I am in Christ Jesus. I am blessed. Now, listen, I got problems. You got problems. How many of y'all are problem free here today? If you are, come out here and pray for me. Every one of us have problems. We got situations in our life that are not correct. They're not godly. God didn't choose for me to have a toothache. I don't have one now, but I'm just using that as an illustration. God didn't choose me to be losing my hair. I am doing some of that. God didn't choose us to have bad situations going on in our life. He chose us because he loves us. And the situations that are bad in our life, when the blessing comes on us, he can start correcting some of those things that are in our life that we don't really know, we don't want to be in our life. Hallelujah. I know this is good news. According as he has chosen us, we're in Ephesians 1 and 4, Mike. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Now, I like this because I did a lot of sin when I was out there in the world. And I'm looking at a bunch of ex-sinners and... I know some of y'all are not holy and unblameable before Christ. I like this verse because it tells me what God thinks about me. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. I am holy and without blame right now before him in love. Look at the fifth verse. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Having predestinated us. Now, let me stop here and just think about this. God the Father and the Holy Ghost and God the Son, Jesus, got together and had a business meeting. Can y'all see this? This is before the earth ever got created. This is before there was a man on the earth. This is before animals ever was on the earth. They had a business meeting and said, you know what? We need to have a bigger family. We need to have a bigger family. So God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost got together and there was a creation that we know now. He created a man, but first of all, you can't create the man until he creates the place the man should live. So he made this wonderful place called Earth. He did everything to make it where it would be beautiful, where it would be just the greatest place for his man to live. Hallelujah. He wanted to have a family. He did not want to have slaves. He wanted a family. Just like a man gets married to a woman, they get together and they say, you know what? Let's multiply. Let's have, now some people come by accident, we know. but still, we want a family, okay? Husband and wife, they get together, have a relationship, and now here comes children. How much joy? Now some kids, you know, you have to train them real good because they don't bring much joy until you get that devil out of them. But we got this family, you know, and it brings us joy. God the Father said, I want more than just one son. I want billions. I want the biggest family you could ever think about. And so that's why he created man. Now man messed up. He knew they would in the garden. But then he said, we'll fix that because I'll send another man that will die for the sins of the first man. And now everybody that believes in that man can be born again and they will now have my sonship again. They'll be my sons and daughters. Right now, no matter how much flesh you got, and I know some of y'all, you got a lot of flesh. I mean, we got some irritations of our flesh. We've got some, just things that are not godly. Right? But our spirit, our born again spirit is perfect, holy, unblameable. Our mind, will, and emotions sometimes are not holy. They're not unblameable. They're not unreprovable. There's things that are wrong in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotion, and there's things that we manifest in our body that's not right. But in our spirit, the real us is holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Now God has said, 5th verse, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. His will was to have some kids. So he set up this adoption plan. And I got adopted. I'm in the family. All in the family. We know Archie's not even there, right? But we're in the family now. Now look at the 6th verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So what has happened now? I'm accepted. You're accepted in the beloved. That is our position right now, spiritually speaking. I know there's things messed up in our mind. I know there's things messed up in our emotions. I know that we're not living exactly the way God wants us to live. But right now, this is what God thinks about you, and this is what God thinks about me. I'm accepted in the beloved. Do you know there's always going to be in the kids, in the house, there's always going to be some people, some kids that just want to push the limit. Well, in God's house, in God's family, not all of us are doing exactly what he wants us to do, but we're accepted. I'm going to say it again. We're accepted. Accepted in what? In the beloved. He loves us. Even though we're not perfect in our actions, he loves us. And he wants us to know it. Hallelujah. Look at the 7th verse. In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have it. Everybody say, I have it. Lynn, what kind of car do you have? I didn't hear you.
A Dodge truck.
A Dodge truck. Okay, she drives a Dodge truck. What do you have, James? You have a Camry? Oh, man, you got a good car there. I drive one, too. Now, listen to this. James believes he owns that car. Lynn, believes she owns that truck. I own forgiveness. I own forgiveness of sins. It's mine. I take it. I'm not going to feel guilty anymore. I am not going to get up in the morning thinking, well, I'm bad, I'm terrible. No, I have been forgiven because God says it. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, I have, and you know this is the truth, I have tried to help people for years and years and years, but I can't help some people. And I'm going to tell you why I can't help some people. Some people do not believe the Bible. They say they mentally sin. I believe every word of the Bible. But when I say something like this, you're forgiven. Now Paul is writing this to us from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an epistle written to the church at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ. And I'm in Christ. He says that I'm forgiven. He says I am chosen. He says that my sins are gone. But I still think I have them. Why? Because I believe the devil more than I believe God. Somebody needs to give me a hallelujah on that one. I'm telling you, our flesh has been in control of us for so long, and the god of this world, who is the devil, is manifesting through our flesh and through our soul. Our soul is unrenewed, mind, will, and emotions. And when we read scripture verses like this, we don't even take our freedom. Because the enemy has deceived our thinking. He's come into our thinking. Well, God's not talking about me. He might be talking about Brother Arthur. He might be talking about Pastor Paul. He might be talking about Andre, but he's not talking about me, because I have been this and I have done that. Listen, are you a believer? Here's the deal. Fight the good fight of faith. When the devil says you're not forgiven, you tell him to go jump in a lake. Tell him to jump in the lake of fire. Say, I want you to know, Mr. Devil, where you're going. You're going to the lake of fire. Hallelujah. And I know you're not going to jump. God's going to throw you in. And I'm going to be there at Holeside, and I'm going to watch you go in too. And I'm going to laugh all the way when you're falling into hell, falling into the lake of fire. I'm going to laugh at you. Hallelujah. Get him tormented a little bit. Don't let him torment you all the time. Okay, go to Ephesians 2 and look at the first verse. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Say, I was dead in trespasses and sins. I'm not anymore. Right now, I am not dead in trespasses and sins. Well, you say, I sinned yesterday. You're not dead in trespasses and sins, because your sins have been paid for by Lord Jesus Christ. You are not dead in your trespasses and sins. You are not separated from God. And you who, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had, past tense, our conversation, lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. I am quickened together with Christ. Right now, Jesus and me got a good thing going. And you know what it is? It's life. Zoe life. God life. Hallelujah. I am made alive together with Christ. Now you say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. That's where you got to get into the Word and tell your lying feelings that they're going to have to go jump under your feet. Your feelings are not you. Your thinking, if it's not scriptural, is not you. You are spirit. You're born of God. And now you've got to fight. You've got to fight to hold on to the thoughts that God says you are. Now look at the seventh verse. Well, the sixth verse. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am raised up together. I am raised up together and I'm made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Okay, now watch this. You know, when my granddaughter Megan got married, I kind of messed up on everything. I don't know what it was. I married a lot of people. I don't mess up at all. You know, I forgot to even do their vows and stuff like that, you know, at the right time. That's what she was saying up there. Papa, we got to do the vows, you know, because she's trying to help me. And, you know, normally you sign the license and everything, and they take pictures of the bride and the groom and witnesses sign. And I'm about ready to leave. And Megan calls me, says, "You still here? We haven't signed a license yet." So she come over to my office and we signed the license. Billy just texted me. God bless you, Billy. But we're over here, and I'm getting the witnesses assigned this document. They had already said their vows to each other. They had already had witnesses in the house, but it wasn't legal yet because you have to sign the marriage contract. You have to have witnesses sign the marriage contract. The things that we are reading today, it's a legal contract. It's signed in the blood of Jesus. When he says we're adopted into Christ Jesus, when he says that we are now seated together with him in heavenly places, your mind can say, "No, I'm in Lawton, Oklahoma. I'm seated on these chairs here in the Christian Center." No, he says you're seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. Do you know in the Spirit, you can be one with Jesus in the Spirit, and Jesus can be in heaven, you can be on the earth. Right now, I'm one with Jesus. Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father, and I'm seated with him. Hallelujah. So what does that mean to me? That means this. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I know I got these situations on the earth, but I'm seated together with him in heavenly places. Everything's going to be all right. I've got connections with the Father God in heaven. I'm talking about the creator of the universe right now is connected to me on planet earth. Hallelujah. And it's not because I'm such a righteous person in action. It's because Jesus made me righteous. It's not because I've lived so holy. It's because Jesus made me holy. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Now my life of living holy and living right, it's going to come because of my position that I'm in Christ Jesus. It doesn't come because I just try real hard. There's a lot of people been trying for years to get rid of stupid thinking. I mean, they think this and they think that. They still are mad about somebody that did something to them 50 years ago. Now, why are they mad? Because the natural person that they were will hold on to sin. But once you get into the Spirit, you loose your sins and then you loose everybody else's sins too. You know, if somebody does sin against us, we just say, "Jesus, you forgave me, and I thank you, Father, that you forgive them, and I'm not going to be tormented. I am just not going to be tormented about what they've done." You know, I see people right now in stores, and some of y'all listen to me right now. You got mad at me and left the Christian Center, left the church, and you know, you think I'm mad at you. I am not mad at you. If I see you in Walmart, I'm going to go up and hug your neck because you might think that I sinned against you. I might think you sinned against me, but I know the sin was taken care of by Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? I am not going to let the devil rob me by thinking, "Well, they did this to me and they did that to me." No, I'm just going to say, "Lord Jesus, you did it all. You took care of all of it." Hallelujah. Now, I'm preaching real fast today because I got so many places to go. Look at Colossians 1 and 9. Colossians 1 and 9. We've got to take the Bible seriously. We've got to own it. I'm talking about the New Testament. Colossians 1 and 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it. Okay, I just feel I'm butting into the subject, so I'm just going to say it this way. Karina, from the day I heard that you got born again, that's what Paul's saying here. Chuck, from the day I heard you got born again. Arthur, from the day I heard you got born again, this is what I'm doing. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. From the day I heard that Yvonne, from the day I heard that Cindy got born again, from the day I heard that any one of us, I cease not to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the day I get born again, I'm not filled with all wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding. I'm praying that you will get filled with knowledge, because you need to know now what has happened to you when you got born again. You need to know it. 10th verse. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. See, if you get filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, then you can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, just think about this. The day you got born again, what do I do now? How many of you had that thought? What do I do now? Well, you can't be pleasing until you're filled with all the knowledge of His will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. As you get, like you're doing right now, you're listening and you're getting filled with the knowledge of His will. Now you're going to be walking pleasing. You're going to be pleasing in your actions. A baby Christian cannot be doing things that are pleasing to God all the time. And when you're 20 years old, you're still not going to be doing, I'm talking about 20 years old in the Spirit, you're still not going to be doing all things that are pleasing. The more and more wisdom and understanding and knowledge that you have of Him, of you in Him, the more pleasing you'll be. So getting, learning, everybody say learning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the 11th verse. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has made us a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now look at the 13th verse. God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I gotta know it. I am delivered. Well, I don't feel delivered. It's not about what you feel. It's about what the Word of God says. Does the Word of God says you're delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son? That's what you are. Take ownership of it. I am delivered. Hallelujah. From the power of darkness. I'm translated into the kingdom. The devil can't make me do anything. I know that Flip Wilson, is that who it was? Devil made me do it. No. The devil can't make us do anything. Because we're translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. I say it, I take ownership, and I live in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at the 14th verse. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Everybody say redemption. Redemption. Through His blood. 14th verse. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Everybody say, even the forgiveness of sins. Am I forgiven? Now listen to this. If I come back there, now Stella just walked in. Now, what if I walk back there? She's going to minister in just a minute. But what if I walk back there and say, Stella, you're late, and just slapped her in the face? Now, we know that she's got her job. She's got to be on all that. But what if I just went back? Now, am I forgiven? God forgave me before I ever did it because Jesus died for my sin before I ever slapped her. But you know what? It might take her a little while to forgive me. She might have to be thinking, you know what? The blood of Jesus just took care of that. Oh, but I want to slap him back. See, I've got to take ownership of forgiveness before somebody does something to me. I'm forgiven. They're forgiven. See, we just look at the blood. You know, hurting. How many of y'all had your feelings hurt? Hey, I want to tell you something. Don't be pastor if you don't like your feelings hurt. I mean, there are so many things that can happen when you're around people. People can do things to you. You can do things to people. Sometimes you don't even know what you did. Sometimes you're thinking they know what they did, but they don't even know what they did. I mean, things can go wrong. But listen to this. Jesus came before any wrong. I'm talking about Jesus came before we were ever alive, and he already died. He died for every wrong that I would do, that they would do. And so what we do is we take what Jesus did. Oh, salakamrandeve, ala mandra, oh, silica. I don't have to die on the cross for what they did. It just hurt my feelings. It hurt Jesus' body. I mean, Jesus was in torture. He was in pain for what they did. All they did, you know, was say something derogatory to me, and I got upset and got my feelings hurt or whatever. But see, Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus already absorbed that in his body. You know, I said some things that I did before Christ when I was growing up, and some of y'all can't even imagine that I would do what I did. I want to tell you the truth. I didn't do it. You say, well, Pastor, you lied then. No, the new me. I'm talking about the new spirit person that I am. The new creation that I am has never done that. That was the person that I used to be. I used to be a sinner. I used to be living for the devil. I mean, what the Holy Spirit, he gives me unctions now, and I do things by the unction of the Holy Ghost. Back then, I just did things from the unction of the devil. You know, I tormented my school teachers. I mean, my school teachers didn't want me to be in class at all. And in fact, some of them just passed me so they wouldn't see me again the next year. But here's what I'm trying to say. Now, in Christ, everything, every sin. Now, I know that you already know this, but do you know it? Listen to this. Now, I've canceled you, many of you, at times. But sitting down and talking, and it's good for us to talk. But sitting down and talking without Jesus in the equation, is nothing, it's not going to do any good. What we got to do is get Jesus, what Jesus did. Okay, what did Jesus do? I know you did this. I know you blew up your marriage. I know you had an affair and you blew up your marriage. But what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Are we going to be hopeless? I've sat across people that's had devastation in their life. And you know what? The kids are crying because mama's leaving, daddy's leaving. And what do you do? Well, you know, I need to go get drunk. I mean, after you hear all that stuff, now I get drunk in the Holy Ghost. But here's what I'm trying to say. The power of what Jesus did. I'm in Jesus. You're in Jesus. Now, I'm not giving you a license to go sin and do all this kind of stuff, but listen to this. This is what Jesus was thinking when the woman was caught in adultery. And I said this yesterday. I'm going to say it again. It's so powerful. I never thought of it till yesterday. I never heard anybody say it. When Jesus was riding on the ground and those people wanted to stone that woman that's caught in adultery, you know what Jesus was thinking? A few days, I'll be on the cross. And what she did in that adulterous bed, I'm going to pay for it in just a few days. How many of you have ever heard that before? I've never heard. I've listened to preacher after preacher, and I've never heard that before. Jesus was thinking about the cross when he was dealing with sinners. Am I thinking about the cross when I'm dealing with my sin? Or am I just thinking about my sin? Or am I thinking about the cross? If I'm not thinking about the cross, I'm never going to be delivered. I'm just going to feel bad about what I've done wrong, and I'm not going to be able to get any relief or any help. See, we can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And so many people talk about how bad they are and how terrible they are. And they've done this and they've done that. And never talk about Jesus. Jesus came to this earth to crush the work of the devil. And the work of the devil is done through me. Hallelujah. Y'all okay? I know I'm pressing today, but we got to get this thing done. Look at the 16th verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. This is Jesus now. And by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. I am the church. You are the church. He is the head of principalities. He is the head of principalities, visible and invisible. He is the head of principalities and powers and all of this. And he's the head of the church. Everybody say the head of the church. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father. Now the word fullness is this. Arthur, Andre, Chuck, Karina, all of us fill Jesus up. We're in Jesus, Cindy. We're in Jesus, Lynn. We're in Jesus. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I am filling Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's the head. He's ahead of all. And because I'm in him, where am I? Look at one more scripture verse. And having, 20th verse, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. That's what he has done for you, and that's what he has done for me. He has made me holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Hallelujah. It can't be because I got all these problems. I got all these addictions. I've got all of this stuff that I know is wrong, so I couldn't be holy. See, I'm not holy in my flesh, but I am holy in my spirit, and my spirit is in him, and I just got to identify with being in him and not in me. I can look at my flesh, and my spirit is in my flesh, and my flesh is not doing everything right at times. But I am in Jesus, my spirit is, and I am my spirit, and I'm born of God, and I'm victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here's the thing. I've known myself after the flesh for so long. I've known myself after the flesh for so long. And I think that I am my thoughts. I think that I am my flesh. And now, because I think different than what God's word says, the devil has access to me. If I think the way this scripture verse is talking about me, the devil loses his access to me. He can't win against me if I know who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, are you just preaching that Christians can just go out and do anything they want to do and they're holy and they're unblameable and unreprovable? Listen, people are going to do what they're going to do. I'm just telling you who you are in Christ. I'm not telling you who you are in your flesh. I'm not knowing you after the flesh. I know you after the Spirit. Your spirit is holy. Your spirit is unblameable. The thing is, most Christians don't know themselves after the Spirit, and that's why they continue to manifest flesh. That's why they continue to sin in the flesh. It's because they only know themselves after their flesh. If you know yourself after the reborn spirit, you'll start living the way that Jesus wants you to live. You can't live the way Jesus wants you to live thinking of yourself as the flesh. Your flesh is always going to be doing things wrong. Your thinking going to be wrong. You know why? Because it's got to die. You can't get out of this world alive. Your flesh has to die because it's not the way God wants it to be. But right now I can put it under. I can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But until I get to heaven, I'm still going to have to war with the outward man. The inward man wants to do the things that are God. The outward man wants to do the things that are not of God. And I've got to do a spiritual warfare against it. And this is the way you do it, is identify with the real you, the spirit person on the inside. Quit identifying with your natural weaknesses. Don't say, I'm so weak, I'm so weak, I'm so weak. Say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I put on the whole armor of God. I resist the devil, he has to flee. I have the shield of faith, it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. Stand up and fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. That's how you win. You can't win just saying what your flesh wants you to say. Hallelujah. And by the way, your flesh was connected to the devil, and he still wants to manifest through your flesh after you're born again because he thinks he owns it. But once you're born again, you tell him who's the owner. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, so you just get yourself out right now in Jesus' name.